Many years ago, a Cheyenne chief was invited to Washington, D.C. by his senator. I assume, like many other occasions, to be renegotiated or to the Senate to try and renegotiate some of the lands that had been given to the Cheyenne people. Anyway, during this occasion, the Senate offered a banquet for the chief and his guests, and as they ate, the senator noted how the Cheyenne chief ate and continued to eat, and at one point, the senator looked at the chief and said, I wish I had your appetite. The chief continued to eat for a few more moments and then paused and said, first you want my land, and now you want my appetite. It was the opening little story that Joe Walks Along Jr. used in welcoming us to the 2013 conference at Ashland, Montana, on the Cheyenne Indian Reservation. I felt that that little story helped break the ice because it was Joe Walks Along Jr., a Cheyenne person, telling this that had happened in their history. And while, yes, it was one of the few many occasions where white America or white Europeans or white Spanish have perhaps used and abused and tried everything we could to negotiate things away from our Native American brothers and sisters, it did happen, and it's part of our history that we have to live with. The conference for me was an opportunity which I would have taken whether I had the opportunity to serve as a delegate or not, and Kay Nussbaum came to me and asked if I would be a delegate again this year, and we had made plans to go anyway, knowing that it was going to be held in Ashland. I guess as I think about the time that we spent there, a lot of different emotional feelings come across me, because one of my favorite pastimes is reading and studying about North American and South American indigenous people. In fact, if you look at the list of books that I read in the past 2 years, many of them would have to do with the indigenous population of Central and South America and of the United States. Some of the feelings, some of the words that came to my mind as I was thinking about the feelings that I experienced as I was attending this conference were, first of all, one of anticipation, and that being the anticipation or the opportunity to attend a Mennonite conference like we attend every year somewhere and don't think too much about it, but being hosted by the Cheyenne people in Ashland, Montana. It, for me, of course, and maybe I look at it a little bit, I look at it out of my own interest, as because it was a place that I was interested in getting acquainted with. So the opportunity to attend this conference hosted by the Cheyenne people. Also, another word that came to my mind was joy, and the joy of seeing a lot of old friends, which I know any of us that have been to conference, go to conference, we always kind of anticipate seeing friends from other Mennonite regions around the Midwest, other churches. A third word that came to my mind was one of apprehension. And while there was a lot of unknowns, ever since I sat in Henderson, Nebraska a year ago and listened to Joe Walks Along Jr. invite us to come to Ashland, it was, how can such a small group of people host such a large number of attendees, as is often the case? So there was a question of how would it be organized, where would they feed this many people, et cetera, et cetera. But never for a minute did we have to fear, because we were hosted, I think, in a most gracious way, and none of our wants or needs were ever went unmet, including a place to sleep, food, fellowship, and et cetera. There were some other feelings, perhaps a little more negative, that came to me also, and One of those was a feeling of guilt, and, you know, maybe I bore this feeling of guilt for my ancestors and for the way we've treated not only Cheyenne people, but many indigenous persons. Was during, on Friday evening, the powwow that persons from the St. Labre Indian School there put on for those of us in attendance. And as I sat during the beginning, the opening moments of this powwow, these Cheyenne people dressed in their native robes and headdresses, and the drummers playing the music, which became so familiar during the time we were there. You know, a real guilt feeling came over me because I could imagine these people doing, these Cheyenne people doing powwows in their villages, and yet right across the river, perhaps the U.S. Army encamped waiting for an opportunity to come in and massacre, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people. And yet, such a beautiful thing that they have, that they, that is part of their culture, something that I just don't think we enjoy enough or take the opportunity enough to understand. There's also the feeling of shame or shame and sorrow. As I sat and listened to the ladies, Becky talked about Suzette's experiences last week. There was another lady named Teresa, and Waze went through the abuse and continued abuse by persons and relationships that they had, obviously due a lot to drugs and alcohol that are so rampant in many parts of our culture, not only on the reservations, but, you know, throughout our entire world. And one of the things that really kind of bugged me was the report came back to me, and it just happened to be that somebody told me this, and not necessarily that I was asking somebody to report, but during our tours or the field trips that we had in the afternoons, one of the things we did was stop by an area that they call it a repatriation cemetery. Here some years ago, the Cheyenne people had requested through whatever channels to try and bring all the remains of their people that have been in museums across the country back to Ashland for proper burial. And this was really important to the Cheyenne people to have those remains buried in the land where they were born and where they were raised. And you stop to think about it, why would we want any of our ancestors or relatives to end up as a museum piece somewhere and not be given proper burial? But the thing that kind of bugged me was I heard one individual say, or he asked the question of the tour leader, well, why would they want to do that? Why would they want to have the remains of their ancestors brought back for a repatriation burial? Just again, I think for the most part we were very sensitive to the Cheyenne people and their culture, and yet somebody asked the question in the midst of, you know, many other people, why would they want to do something like this? Why is that so important? Well, stop and think about it. If you have your relatives forever in a museum somewhere. There are a couple of other words yet, one of those being praise and blessing. And praise, as we as a part of our field trips in the afternoon. This year, I think Becky alluded to it, we had two morning delegate sessions on Friday and Saturday mornings, but then in the afternoons, we had the opportunity to visit the three Mennonite churches, Ashland, Busby, and Lame Deer, and also the opportunity to visit the Little Bighorn Battlefield as well as the Medicine Rock, which Medicine Rocks, which have become a national monument in just recent years, also located very close there to Ashland. But I think one of the neatest moments of the entire afternoons were as we stood in the Ashland Church. Doug Bishop, who is a leader there, was telling us a little bit about what the congregation came through. And some of you may remember that a year ago, when during conference in Henderson, Nebraska, the report had come from Ashland that there was a forest fire very near the town of Ashland. They thought for a while it may approach the church there in Ashland because it was on that side of town. And the church was struggling with a building project to expand their sanctuary. And over the noon hour, the delegates at the Iowa Nebraska, or at the conference in Henderson, pledged over $40,000 to help the Ashland group finish this new addition that they were putting on their church. Well, for us to visit Ashland, we were taken into, there were like 100 of us on the two buses, we were taken into the new addition, and they had added it to an existing fellowship hall. And my understanding was that they, just the previous Sunday, they'd had their first worship service there. And when we walked into the church, some programs were handed out to us, this 13th annual meeting of the Central Plains Mennonite Conference. And I don't know that any of Jim Kielsmeyer's family is here this morning, but in the center of this program is an article about Peter and Catherine Cleaver, who were Jim's grandparents. And one of the reasons that Jim so anticipated being able to go to the conference, and we all know the assignment that he's received in Palestine that's not allowed him to do that. But yes, during our time there, there was a lot of talk, several different occasions, about Jim's grandparents, and it was just really kind of a neat experience for us knowing Jim and knowing how he has contributed and continues to contribute to our congregation here. To top it all off, before we left, somebody suggested that as a part of our helping dedicate this new addition to the Ashland Church, we all sing 318 or 606, I don't know how you know it, Praise God from whom all blessings flow. And to hear 100 people gathered together in this new addition, that a year ago wasn't there, was being threatened by forest fires, and how persons came together to pledge that $40,000 that they needed to finish the addition, and they were able to finish the addition and meet for the first Sunday in that new addition before the conference this year. I think it probably just, for me, was the highlight of the entire weekend, knowing the connection back to Henderson and, you know, what had actually been feasible. A lot more could be said, but I guess some of the things that just quickly, I mentioned we had the delegate sessions in the morning, field trips in the afternoon. We had an opportunity to visit all three of the churches, and that in itself was very meaningful because we were hosted very graciously, served refreshments on each occasion, and a short presentation done in the sanctuary of each of the three churches, Lame Deer, Busby, and the Busby is the White River, and the Ashland Church, I guess. I would just like to close by commenting a little bit about one of Terry LeBlanc's presentations, and I think Becky commented about Terry LeBlanc being our speaker for the three worship periods on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday morning. And I think you've been given the website. If not, it's available where you can go in and listen, see some pictures, but also listen to Terry's Saturday and Sunday Saturday and Sunday's presentations. So I just comment briefly about his Friday's presentation. And he started with some words from Acts 10:44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gifts of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them a few days. The point being, in his presentation that day, was how much we have perhaps in the past looked culturally at who a people are, or what a church, as we've attempted to Christianize them or lead them to Christ. And, you know, I think of some cases where I remember this. I think it was a group from Central America where we led them to Christ and then expect them to dress like we dressed here in the United States. And I think in this case, well, I know in this case, you know, Terry was referring to the way perhaps we have approached evangelism among our Native American peoples, expecting them to culturally come from here and meet us here, rather than understanding that the Holy Spirit was poured out for all. Culturally, it doesn't really matter. It's in Christ that we're one and the same, but we have to be a little bit more open and accepting, and I think even in our own midst here, we have an excellent opportunity of evangelizing persons that culturally are much different than what we are, but it's not the reason to allow us to stop evangelizing them. No single culture into what we must become to be able to follow Jesus. In the past, we used to say, if you can't be a real authentic Christian if you don't do things like we do. And I think, thank goodness, thank the Lord, we've moved beyond that, and my prayer would be that we continue to move beyond looking at a person culturally rather than attempting to lead them to faith in Christ and accepting them where they're at culturally. So thanks again for the opportunity to be a delegate. I would encourage as many of you that have the possibilities to go online and listen to Terry's Friday or Saturday and Sunday's presentations, because there's a lot to be said in them.